And it's so neat because if the Jews paid attention to the law of God in the Old Testament, given through the angels, then they ought to give greater heed to the message given by Jesus Christ himself, who is greater than the angels. And that's not only the Jews, but anybody that wants salvation should look to Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Years ago, Raul surrendered his life to Jesus and experienced his Savior's divinely miraculous love. Raul's desire is that you too will receive Christ's gift of salvation and gain the hope of eternal life. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's testimony. We're glad you've joined us today for our continuing series in the book of Hebrews. Today, as you explore Christ's absolute supremacy, you'll see how even heaven's mighty angels fall under his dominion. Jesus is preeminent in everything, and God's angelic armies serve and support his saving work in our lives. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio for this illuminating look at the role of angels and the transcendence of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, here's Raul Reese.
Tonight we're going to see that Christ is better than the angels. And if you think about that for a moment, we know that angels play a vital role in the Jewish religion of Israel. The law was given through the ministry of angels. According to Galatians 3:19, it says, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made," speaking of Jesus. "And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." I mean, we see that at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ministry of angels coming to Joseph, coming to Mary, coming to Elizabeth. And we begin to see the preparation that God had for this world after the Old Testament prophets had been given prophecy concerning the Messiah that would come and deliver his people. And when you think of all of the offerings in the Old Testament, the killing of goats, the killing of lambs, the killing of turtle doves, and then Paul the Apostle in the New Testament in the book of Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, he begins to share with us how in the Old Testament it was all dead sacrifices. But in the New Testament it's a living sacrifice. And that's why Paul says, therefore, he says, he's calling Christians, he says, "Therefore I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds." And so the book of Hebrews brings out this beautiful message that Jesus is better than the prophets. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Aaron, better than Moses, you see? And it's so neat because if the Jews paid attention to the law of God in the Old Testament, given through the angels, then they ought to give greater heed to the message given by Jesus Christ himself, who is greater than the angels. And that's not only the Jews, but anybody that wants salvation should look to Jesus Christ. For he is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And to me, it's really beautiful that Paul here not only gives us now in verses 4 to 14, he's going to give us now 7 Old Testament quotations to show Christ's superiority over the angels. Chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "Having become so much better," the word "better" is used 13 times in the book of Hebrews, "and he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." And what's really neat now in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he's going to give you the first two quotations from the Old Testament, Psalm 2, verse 7, and 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. Those are the two quotations that he starts with from the Old Testament. And what's amazing here is that Psalm 2, verse 7, is a psalm that is addressed to the rebellion of the nations against God and against His anointed one. If you read Psalm 2, it is a prophetical psalm and actually pointing to the one that they're rebelling against, and that's the anointed one of God. Who's that? Jesus. So here Paul the apostle brings in the scripture to put it in here to show how Jesus Christ is better than the angels. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 14, the passage here presents the words of Nathan, the prophet, to David, again promising David that one of his descendants, speaking of Jesus, notice, is going to actually set the eternal kingdom of God. A prophecy of the coming prince, a prophecy of the coming prophet that the book of Deuteronomy talks about in chapter 18 by Moses. Jesus would be the prophet. Jesus would be the Son of God, as we saw last week in chapter 1, verse 3. So now he sees in verse 4, notice again, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Notice what he says here. Here again, he says that he's obtained a more excellent name, the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Is the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And then in verse 5 he says, notice again, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son. Notice again his identity here, my son. It's in a capital S, not a small S. Speaking of who? Jesus. Jesus Christ, the one that was coming in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14, that David talked about, the coming Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one that would come and set the world free by coming and dying for the sins of the world, and those that would come by faith and receive Jesus Christ through repentance would be saved because of Jesus. He's the one that can only save. So here we see again that Jesus is greater than the angels. Amazing. But yet Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The only one that sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. When Satan comes up to the throne of God and begins to accuse you, accuse me, he says, Father, according to 1 John, he's what? The advocate. He is the lawyer and my defense, your defense. And he says, Father, he is mine. And what the Father says to Satan, Satan, get lost. You can't touch him. He belongs to my son. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So to me, this is so incredible to be able to see not only his identity, but he says again, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son? He never said that. Today I have begotten you. Yet this is a reference to his resurrection. Today I have begotten you. Again, another quotation here. And again he said, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son. God the Father, God the Son. Notice that. God the Father said, he is my son. I love it. And then, notice again, in verse 6, his preeminence now. But when he, Jesus, again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship who? Jesus. We don't worship angels. Remember in the book of Revelation, John started bowing down to the angel and they say, hey, hey, don't do that. Get up. Don't worship me. And yet think of how many people try to worship angels. And yet, what did Paul say in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8? Let's read it. Look what he says about angels concerning the gospel. Verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who are troubling you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to them which we have preached to you, let him be anathema, let him be cursed to the lowest hell. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be anathema or let him be cursed to the lowest hell. So you see, we don't worship angels. We worship Jesus, and the angels worship Jesus Christ too. That's what the Bible teaches. Pretty incredible when you think about that. Because here in verse 6, Psalm 97, verse 7, it's from the Greek Septuagint. It's quoted from Deuteronomy 32:43, which is interesting here. The quotation is actually in reference to the return of Christ to the earth. Notice again what he says. When he again brings the firstborn, who's the firstborn? The first in order, Jesus Christ. He says, and when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Jesus is the only name where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And then again, notice his preeminence here, firstborn. In the New Testament, the word most often shown is a title of Christ, Messiah. But it is also an expression of his preeminence in both the church and also in what? In the world, the cosmos. Not only here, but in the whole universe. Jesus, firstborn in order. The one that was sent by the Father through a virgin to be born in a little place in Bethlehem where the actual kings of Babylon came and brought their gifts to him. And then as he grew up, what did he do? He grew up and he started preaching, teaching, healing. And at the end of his life in ministry, what did he do? He laid down his life. He submitted his life to be crucified and to die for the sins of the world, Jesus. He's the one. And so it's really important that we see that here again. And notice verse 7. And of the angels, he says, this is what he says about the angels. Who makes his angels spirits or winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Notice that. Notice that God uses his angels to accomplish his will. We already illustrated. Another illustration is in Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened? Abraham was talking to Jesus, a theophany of Christ, in chapter 18, the angel of Jehovah. He came down and said to Abraham, how can I hide this from him? I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Who was in Sodom and Gomorrah? His nephew Lot and his wife and his daughters. But before it ever happened in chapter 13 of Genesis, in chapter 14, it started when Abraham and Lot, his nephew, started kind of bickering against his uncle. And his uncle said, you know what? I think we need to separate. You go ahead and take any part of the land that you want, and then I'll choose my part, whatever you choose. And so Lot started looking through Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw the lights of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, I think I'll go this way. And he started going through Sodom and Gomorrah. And the first step of his backsliding was when he lifted up his eyes and he looked through Sodom and Gomorrah, the lights glittering. The second step to his backsliding is when he actually set his tent outside of Sodom and Gomorrah, not too close to Sodom and Gomorrah and not too far away, but his daughters and wife could actually walk into Sodom and Gomorrah and walk out and back to their tent and say, we're not part of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like people today. But the third step in Genesis 19, we find him moved into Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's a judge sitting at the city gates making judgment when Jesus sends two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. Remember that? To destroy it. And when the angels came, Lot bowed himself to them and said, "Oh, excuse me, man, can you guys come in? I'm going to make you a meal. Angels eat too. They can eat." So he fixed them a meal and they ate. And then as they were getting ready to leave, they said, "Oh, you can't leave. It's too dangerous in the streets of Sodom and Gomorrah. Stay here until morning, then you can go." Because they already had told them what they were going to do. And so what happened during the night, when the people outside in Sodom and Gomorrah, the homosexual community, found out that there were two nice-looking young guys inside of Lot's house, they came, old and young, it says, and they knocked on the door, and they said, "Hey, Lot, come here. We want to talk to you. We want the men that are in your house that came to you tonight, we want them out here so that we can sexually know them." And remember, Lot was talking to them outside, and Lot said, no, my friends, they're my guests in my house, but I have two daughters." Here's another step of backsliding. He was willing to sacrifice his daughters. "You can take my beautiful daughters and abuse them sexually. I'll give them to you." And when the angels heard that, they opened the door because they were going to kill Lot. And they grabbed Lot by the collar and they pulled him inside and blinded the man and shut the door. And even in their blindness, they tried to break into the house. And then remember what happened? Lot, the next day, the angel said to him, "Lot, get everyone in your family and get out of Sodom and Gomorrah by sundown, because God's going to bring fire and brimstone." And what's so amazing about that is that as Lot went out to meet with his son-in-laws, and he told them, "Hey, listen, God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah," they started mocking him and laughing at him. They didn't believe him. And then the angel said, "Lot, you better hurry up and get your daughters." So he got his daughters, his wife, and he started actually going. And the angel pulled out, and they pulled him out of the city. And he went to a little city called Soar, and the fire and the brimstone came down. And when that happened, his wife turned around, and she started walking back to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so gripped by Sodom and Gomorrah that she turned into a pillar of salt, the judgment of God. So here we see the importance of angels coming and warning of judgment to come. And that's why he says his angels are winds and his ministers a flame of fire. You see, God again created the angels, created beings. Christ was never created. He's always been. He will always be. He's heir of all things. Christ has great inheritance, and thus his greater name, and he is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. And then, verse 8, but to the Son, to Jesus, notice, here he says, now, his eternal throne, he's God. And to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God." What is God saying? God is saying to Jesus, "You're God too." The Jehovah Witnesses don't believe that. Mormons don't believe that. Any cult doesn't believe that Jesus is God. He's God. It's forever and ever and ever. And what is he quoting now? Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. He says, "A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom." Notice his right to the throne is in the kingdom. He's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, he is God. And then in verse 9 he says, notice again, "You have loved righteousness," and here's his majesty now, "and hated lawlessness." Notice that. Notice the motives and actions here. "Therefore God, your God, has anointed you, Jesus, with the oil of gladness more than your companions." Here's where Colossians 1:15 fits in. Let's read it. Colossians 1:15. Listen to what he says about Jesus. He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus Christ, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. Notice that. The first in order to die and rise again, that in all things he may have the what? The preeminence. That's what we've been talking about. The preeminence. Notice that. What he says here about Jesus Christ. Verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Wow. His eternity, creator of all things. He did it all. Notice that. Did it all for us. Amazing how God, he quotes Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. And then in verse 11, he says, they will perish. Notice, everything's going to perish. But you remain. I like that. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. How everything's going to end up and blow up in fire. And God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. This is going to be gone. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. Notice the universe is growing old and old. Scientists tell us that. The Bible says that. The old earth is going to be gone one day. Notice that. Jesus is going to create a new heaven, a new earth for us. Verse 12. Like a cloak, notice that, like a changing of a clothing. Like a cloak, you will fold them up and they will be changed. But you, Jesus, are the same and your years will not fail. Notice that. Jesus never changes. He's the same today, tomorrow, and the next day. He always will be. In verse 13, the plea with the Father now. But to which of the angels has he ever said again? Psalm 110, verse 1. In Matthew 25:41, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. His plea with the Father.
We hope you've been strengthened by today's message that not only is Christ all-powerful in your life, he has the entire host of heaven's army at his disposal, ready to perform mighty deeds on your behalf. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to review today's message, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. And when you make your request, ask for Raul's lesson from Hebrews chapter 1. As you think about your personal response to Jesus' power and love, we'd like to offer you a new resource from Raul simply titled Faith. Surrendering to Christ is an act of faith, and in this study, you'll explore what it takes to make the daily choice to trust. As you discover the blessings of true submission, you'll be inspired to persist in your faith, no matter what trials or obstacles you might face. Contact us today to purchase this motivational new audio series from Raul. Visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this four-message faith study for a gift of $20 or more. Once again, that phone number is 800-634-9165. To order the series by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We want to be a source of connection and support for you. So if you haven't already, be sure to like us on Instagram or friend us on Facebook. We also encourage you to access all of the Somebody Loves You resources. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at noon West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that offers biblical wisdom for navigating the complex issues of our times. You can also download our free app to your iPhone or Android, and every Somebody Loves You radio program can be downloaded as a podcast through Spotify and iTunes. Well, as we continually look for new ways to help you experience God's truth in your life, we value your feedback and ideas. We'd also love to pray for you, so when you contact us, let us know how we can do that. This ministry is made possible through your continued prayers and financial support. On behalf of all of us here at Somebody Loves You Radio, thanks so much for your partnership. Next time, we'll continue with more from Hebrews. You'll see that when you neglect to spend daily time with the Lord, you run the risk of slowly but surely drifting away from Him entirely. Here's Raul now with the closing comment.
And finally, notice verse 14. And they, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. What do you mean? The angels keep what? They keep serving. Notice that. They keep serving. Here we have the ministry is to God, worshiping Him. And secondly, angels, notice, are sent to us to help us. You've heard of the archangel being there when you were in an accident? That's what he's talking about here. The angels of God assist us. They're there. Christ is greater than the angels. He's creator of all things. And He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.